For many people across the country, today is move-in day, September 1st, which could mean plopping down first and last month's rent and a security deposit, maybe a broker fee as well. We wanted to check in on the rental market now in two cities, starting with Cleveland. Chuck Schulman is president of Carlisle Management, which owns or manages 147 properties in Northeast Ohio. And Chuck, how has the apartment market changed in Cleveland in recent years?
It's changed dramatically with the idea that Greater Cleveland 35, 40 years ago started to have a huge exodus of businesses. So there was a lot of empty space downtown where there were major businesses had just moved out of Cleveland, gone to other cities. There were very few apartments actually downtown, approximately 4,000. And then now all of a sudden there are 21,000 units with almost 8,000 units still to be built or in the process of being converted and repurposing existing office buildings to really attract people back into downtown Cleveland.
Is it a renter's market or a landlord's market?
Actually, it's pretty much still a landlord's market. Renters are getting some decent deals, but all of a sudden there's a tremendous demand. So as a result, the landlords are really able to call their own shots for the first time.
What's the average rent right now for a one-bedroom in Cleveland?
Well, it's really all over the board. You can, in certain neighborhoods, get a one-bedroom apartment still in the $600 range. And in other neighborhoods, you'd be well over $1,250, just depending on which area you're looking at. And there's a lot of regentrification going on. So some of the areas that historically were on the lower end are all of a sudden turning into very strong markets with much higher rents.
Now, Northeast Ohio was one of the areas that was worst hit by the foreclosure crisis. Today, Akron and Cleveland still have among the highest proportion of underwater houses on the market. Is that affecting the rental market?
That is dramatically, as well as the way the 2008-2009 debacle happened. It affected the condominium market, which was very strong here in a huge way, and that is really the hardest hit portion of the market still. You're still seeing a lot of empty units, foreclosures still pending from back then, and a lot of people are still underwater or just truly upside down on their condominium units. That's driving people back into apartments.
And certainly in many areas of the country, if in the heart of the financial crisis you had decided to buy rather than rent, you would be in much better shape today. Is that the case in Cleveland? And how often do you advise people to forget about renting and just try to buy instead?
Well, very often we do that. It just depends on their circumstance. There are many times where buying is definitely a better option. Right now, though, what we're seeing is a lot of people who are looking for the rich amenities renting apartments now, and many of the new buildings or the repurposed buildings are very high amenity buildings. You're not going to be able to do something like that if you're buying a starter home or if you're buying a mid-range home. So if you're not looking for the high amenity package, buying right now is a tremendous bargain.
That's Chuck Schulman, who is president of Carlisle Management, which owns or manages 147 properties in Northeast Ohio in the Cleveland area. Chuck, thank you.
It's my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Well, meanwhile, Houston is dealing with a glut of housing after years of growth. Tim Surratt is a realtor with Greenwood King Properties in Houston and a board member of the Houston Association of Realtors. Tim, what's driving all that construction in Houston?
It's a combination of things. For one thing, for over 5 years, we've had less than 4 months of inventory of housing. So if you put your house on the market and sell it, we can't find a place quick enough for you to get into. So there's a lot of transitional people in between houses when we sell their house and they need to still look and don't want to look under pressure. So we have that. And then we've added, in the last 10 years, we've added over 1 million people to Houston. And our housing stock, frankly, has not kept up with it.
So what does that mean for people who are renting? What kind of money do they have to pay to get an apartment?
I think the average single-family home is about $1,800 a month, and the multifamily $1,630 per month.
And is that going up?
It has. It's, the price of the townhomes is up 10%.
Are you seeing people who have been renting being forced out, being forced to go get an apartment further outside of the city because the prices are going up?
We are. That's happening, and they're also moving from Class A construction to Class B or C. That means instead of these brand-new apartments with granite countertops and dishwashers and air conditioning and fancy pools, are having to downstep a little bit if they want to stay in the neighborhoods they want.
Are you seeing a change in the types of people who are renting versus buying in Houston?
Yes, I think so. We're seeing a lot of empty nesters moving in from the suburbs to see if they really like living in the city that are leasing, and it's been a lot of fun to deal with them. They're very happy to come into the city. They're so excited. They call me when their kids are in their senior year, usually around January or February, and they can't get inside the what we call the loop fast enough, which is close to our downtown center.
Are you worried with all of the construction of new places to keep up with this demand that you're going to end up with a glut of housing on the market when there's a change in people's behavior or when there's a downturn in the economy?
We're not worried because, frankly, we've been 2 years into the depressed oil prices and we've survived it, much to our shock. We're very pleased that our economy was diversified enough to survive it.
How is all of this construction changing the character of the city?
Before, Houston had two-story apartment complexes and not very many residential high-rises. And in the last 5 years, there's over 40 high-rises that have been built for residential living. I'm talking 10 stories to 30 stories. In addition to that, they've done what's called eight-story wraps, which is looks very similar to Washington, D.C. So if you're around DuPont Circle and places like that.
So it's starting to feel a little more East Coast.
It feels the density has gone up significantly. I'd be curious to find out how significantly, but you can definitely feel it.
If someone asks you whether they should rent or buy in Houston right now, what would you tell them?
It depends upon how long they're going to be here. If they're going to be here 1 or 2 years, which we have a lot of people sliding through town on corporate relocations, it'll be here for 2 years. It's tough to buy and recoup your money no matter what environment you're in. But if you're going to be here 3 to 5 years, you're going to lose money by renting versus buying, in my opinion.
That's Tim Surratt, who's a realtor with Greenwood King Properties in Houston. He's also on the board of the Houston Association of Realtors. Thanks so much, Tim.
It's been my pleasure.
And finally, let's talk about the national picture with Svenja Gedell, chief economist at Zillow, the online real estate database. She joins us via Skype from Seattle. Svenja, what are you seeing when you look at rental markets in cities around the country?
In general, we've been seeing solid growth on the rental side. Currently, rents are growing at 2.2% annually. Our forecast is for that to stay roughly the same, right around 2% over the next year. However, some markets are appreciating it faster than other markets. And the markets that are seeing the most appreciation are located in the Pacific Northwest and in California, where you have Seattle growing at 10% annually, for example, and places like Portland and Denver not far behind.
And nationally, we know that home ownership is at a 50-year low, while the share of U.S. households that rent is nearing a 50-year high. What is driving the shift to renting?
You know, it's really a couple of things going on there. And most of the household formation that we're seeing currently is actually on the rental side. And one of the things that we're seeing is that homeowners currently are older than they've ever been. People are having a hard time saving for a down payment, oftentimes because their rental rates are relatively high and it's, putting a dent in their piggy bank, if you will. Then also we're seeing that some folks are still having a hard time accessing or qualifying for a mortgage. And lastly, I think the biggest driver that we're seeing that is impeding buying homeownership right now is being able to find an affordable home that you can buy. And oftentimes people have to search for several months or even years in order to find a home. And they're facing tough competition in the market with multiple bids coming in on homes and oftentimes having to go through this process numerous times before they actually are able to buy a home.
And if they're not able to buy a home and they have to rent, it sounds like their rent is going up. Their rent has been going up. Are they getting kind of a bad deal because of the market?
They certainly are, yes. And, it's the kind of situation where these cities that are actually doing quite well in terms of economy and job growth, such as San Francisco, Denver's, Austin, Seattle, are seeing a bunch of people moving to the area, attracting new talent. And as we are seeing more people come to the market, they're demanding more housing. And so prices are being driven up both on the for sale and on the for rent side. And oftentimes people are forced to pay a good chunk of their income towards either one of these. And so less money is actually left over at the end of the day for savings. And it is a tough situation to be in because you're either dealing with having to increase your rents or having to absorb that rental shock every single year as you're renewing your lease, or having to face an extremely tough market on the for sale side.
So what's the impact of so many people renting instead of buying on the economy? Because homeownership has been a major engine of the U.S. economy for a long time.
It has been, but I'm probably less worried than some folks out there in terms of what this means to be at a relatively low homeownership rate, right around 63%. Yes, it's lower than we have been, but not that much lower than we were back in the 90s. And I do think that over the next few years, we will start to trend back up again. I don't think we will remain a, you know, for lack of a better word, a nation of renters, as oftentimes it's been referred to. I do think we'll start to see more people getting back into homeownership. And a lot of this is demographically driven.
That's Svenja Gedell, who's chief economist at Zillow. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And we'd love to hear from you at hereandnow.org. If you are renting, are you seeing your rent go up this year? Are you thinking about buying? Have you looked at that calculation? And what have you decided?